Good morning, everyone. So this morning we're going to somewhat conceptually build on the introduction that we gave last week, but just to very quickly recap what we talked about last week, and this week somewhat get through an idea which really encapsulates the main point of this ikkar, of this principle. Last week we went through the last two chapters of the Rambam's Yad HaChazakah, the last two chapters of Hilchos Malachim, where the Rambam talks about his halachic codification of Mashiach and the basic description that he goes through there of what the idea of Mashiach is. And we basically went through that the Rambam says, just to sum it up in two lines, basically says, we don't know what's going to happen in the time of Mashiach. There are lots of nevuahs about it. There are lots of gemaras about it. Agadata, Chazal. A lot of different descriptions of what exactly is going to take place at the time of Mashiach. We don't know how all of it's going to happen. We don't know how it's all going to pan out. What's going to be literal. All of the analogies, all of the mashalim. We'll understand all the metaphors when they happen. We'll understand what they were a metaphor for, which of it was a metaphor, what parts of it weren't a metaphor. And all of that is not really what it's all about. That we don't have to worry about. You understand it, great. You don't understand it, it's not a problem. It's not really all of those details are not really the point of Mashiach. So the Rambam, the point of Mashiach, the point of the era of Mashiach, is really that it brings about, it reinstates an era in which we are able to focus on Ratzon Hashem, focus on keeping the Torah in its shleimus, in its completion, in a way that we have not been able to before. It brings in a time where Mala Arz Deya Es Hashem, where the world is able to reach a singular focus on fulfilling God's will. And that's really what the central concept of Mashiach is, this idea of being able to focus on what really matters in the world. That was basically just in a nutshell what we went through last week. So I wanted to talk about this week, we'll see, a question in how to understand one detail of this ikkar, which is very, really gets into the central point of what this ikkar is about. So the Rambam writes in the introduction of Sanhedrin, Yisod Shnei Masar Yemos Mashiach, 12th principle is the era of Mashiach, the Messianic era. V'hu l'ha'amin u'l'ameis sheyavo, is to believe and to authenticate that it will come. The aim lomar shenisacher, should not say that it is delayed, that it's late. Im yismamea chakelo, im yismamea chakelo, if it shall be long in coming, chakelo, you should wait for it. So the Rambam, I didn't include the Rambam in the Yad HaChazakah, but the Rambam in the Yad is very clear that this point of waiting for Mashiach is part of the ikkar. It's not just a side detail of, it's not like a disclaimer. It's part of the ikkar is to wait for Mashiach. That's the part of the ikkar is not just to believe that he's coming, but to wait for him to wait for him to come. So this ikkar here, that you believe that Mashiach is going to come and to wait for him to come. So trying to understand exactly why that's so significant, why it should be a requirement, a central pillar of our faith to wait for him to come, so want to turn the page, and the focal point of our discussion this morning is going to be on understanding now generally the Ani Mamin. We don't really use as a central source for exactly what the Rambam meant, but I really just want to use it as a way of disambiguation here, of focusing on something he says and understanding what exactly it's supposed to mean and how we're supposed to understand it. In the Rambam, the Ani Mamin says, the 12 Ani Mamin, Ani Mamin Be'amuna Shlema Be'vias HaMashiach V'afal Pi She'yisma Me'a, even though it may take a long time, Im kol zeh achake lo b'chol yom sheyavo, even so I shall wait for him every day that he will come. So the question is that last phrase, Im kol zeh achake lo, even so I shall wait for him b'chol yom, every day sheyavo, that he should come. That those words b'chol yom, every day, what does that modifying. Is that saying... I think the way it is generally understood, and we'll see that it's not just a mistake. There were great authorities in history who understood it this way. Does that mean that I expect that Mashiach is going to come every day? In any given day, I expect Mashiach is coming today? Or does it mean that I am waiting for him every day? Every day I am waiting for him that he should come. When he's going to come, I don't know when he's going to come, but I'm waiting for him today, meaning that I am expecting or looking forward to his arrival. Every day I'm looking forward to his arrival. Do I think he's going to come today? Not necessarily. Right? So that's the question. Which of these two is the way to understand this? So if you look on the next page, this is the Mabit in the Beis Elohim. So the Mabit was one of the leaders of his generation. The Mabit was, let me see if I can remember the chronology correctly here. The Mabit was the Maharit's son and the Chacham Tzvi's father, maybe? I don't know if I have that right. But the Mabit was in the late 1500s, I think, early 1600s. And so basically this is the Mabit in Sha'ar HaYesodos, in the 50th chapter of Sha'ar HaYesodos. And the Mabit here writes, he says, Amunah. So he writes something very interesting, which is not what we're going to focus on, but the first point that is not underlined here, he says that there's something very unique about this principle. It says that all of the other principles are things that are current, they're already here, and they're things that you can talk about and bring proofs about, like for the you can have a philosophical discussion to show that such a thing is true or makes sense, whatever it is, right? God exists. So you've got, you know, the Rambam and the Shar Bechina of the Chovos Levavos, and you know, all these written about, you know, the existence of to prove, you know, so to speak, that God exists, to prove that God is one, and all of a whole philosophical discussion about the truth of all of these of the Ikrim. When it gets to the 12th Ikr, it's something which doesn't exist now. It's something, it's an Ikr about what will happen. So something that will happen, you can't prove what will happen. You can't.
We just have to be patient. Ago, the reward and punishment. We said Olam Haba.
Right.
That's also the same idea.
Well, so reward and punishment. First of all, it's not only something which exists in the future. There is might be that the ultimate reward and punishment exists in the future, but at least
you can't prove reward and punishment.
No, well, none of these things you can prove in terms of pointing to something and showing like, look, there it is over there. The idea is that you can philosophically try and prove its existence. You can discuss it as a philosophical doctrine, whether or not it has to be true, could be true, whatever it is, right? So they have about the Rambam. We saw at a number of different points in the Rambam about the nature of Hashgacha and of God's providence and how that interacts with reward and punishment and God, and you know, basically God's responding to the world. And these are all things which are, you know, in play now. But says the Mabit that the 12th principle, the 13th principle is really also this way, but the 12th principle comes before that, so this is the first one that's way. The 13th principle is the principle of Chiyas HaMason, so that's also is something in the future.
Well, if you're patient, eventually you will be proved.
Right. But in any case, so he says that this is the ein laha ein alav raya. You can't bring any proof to this. So there's nothing to there's nothing to discuss about showing why philosophically it must be true. Says ulakach, starting from the ulachin, starting from the underlined ulachin. Therefore, the Rambam says you have to believe it and you have to authenticate it for yourself. You have to basically bring it to a level of emes in your own mind. and don't think that it's been delayed. Im yismameach hakelo, if it takes a long time, you should wait for it. Kemama hanavi alav shalom, like the Nehu and Chavakuk. Kimasha lo hugval zmano, says the Mabit, anything which is not limited in time, which is not bound in time, yachol ios b'chol zman, could be at any time. Being karov or rachok, could happen long time from now, could also happen very soon. V'habilti ma'amin l'zman karov, someone who doesn't believe that it could happen very soon, gam kein lo yamin l'zman rachok, will also come to not believe that it's going to happen in the distant future either. V'gam im yagvil l'zman b'avor hazman asher gaval timat amunas l'asim, says the Mabit, and if you give it, if you bind it to a certain time, if you restrict it, limit it, that it's going to be, you know, you predict the time when Mashiach is going to come, and you limit it to that's going to be then, so then that will reduce your emuna for all other time. V'chein im yagvil lozman lo yamin biyasu kodon zman azeh, and you're not going to believe, if you assign a time to it, you're not going to believe that it's going to come before that time. The Mabit there is really explaining why it is that a person has to be hoping that he comes every day, he says, is really as a function of maintaining the overall belief that he's going to come. You can't limit it to a certain time, like the Rambam says in this Iker. The Rambam writes, we read it last week, the whole Iker, but the Rambam says, as part of the Iker, not to calculate the time when Mashiach is coming. V'lachin, next underlined part, V'lachin ha'amunahi, therefore, the emuna, the belief is, shelo yachshov sheyisacher, that not to believe that he is delayed, he ain lo zman mugbal, that he has no limited time, the afshar b'chol yom biyaso, and he could come any day. Every day is a day when Mashiach could come. So the Mabit seems to understand, like the first way that we said, that the emuna is, or the requirement is, that every day I'm expecting that Mashiach is going to come today. It's possible for him to come every day, and therefore I'm expecting every day today's going to be the day that he comes, right? And that's the emuna of this Iker. Now, that's certainly a very simple, straightforward reading of the Rambam.
When you say every, you mean any day?
Yeah, meaning not that he's going to come today and then come again tomorrow, right? Meaning that on any one day could be the day that he's going. Every day could be the one day on which he will come. So that's going to be, if we turn the page, the problem, the problem with this is that there's a Gemara in Erevin. We're going to jump into the middle of the Gemara here, but the Gemara basically is discussing that someone who makes a neder, that Hareini Nazir B'Yom Sheben David Ba, I am accepting Naziris on the day that Mashiach comes. So it says that he is not allowed to drink wine on weekdays, but he could drink wine on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So the Gemara wants to know why, and the Gemara suggests that this really is related to the idea of yesh tchumin or ein tchumin, whether or not there is tchumin lamala me'asara, whether or not there is tchumin above a height of 10 tefachim, which means that does the idea that you cannot travel certain distance on Shabbos, is that only in Rishus HaRabim, or is it even in Halakha, just a general rule in all Hilchos Shabbos, Rishus HaYachid and Rishus HaRabim both only go up to a height of 10 tefachim. After above a height of 10 tefachim, you're no longer in either of those Rishuyos, it's not a Rishus anymore, and the question is there an issue of traveling a far distance in that Rishus? And when Mashiach comes...
What do you mean, flying?
Yes. Or, I mean, when Mashiach
comes...
How
else are you going to travel...
Well,
and fucking red air.
Yeah, right. So if
you're talking about flying.
So when Mashiach comes, he's going to come from Shemayim, right?
Really?
Coming from
out
there.
He's going to be born to a woman. He's a man, just like everybody else.
All right. So we'll get into exactly. I mean, we're not going to get into all the details.
And
here,
I thought he's going to be riding a white donkey.
Okay. This is all included in what the Rambam says. He's a, you know, we don't know exactly what's going to happen. It's going to be a mashal. It's going to not be a mashal. You missed the beginning here, but basically, you were here last week, right? So you were here for that, right? That we discussed, the Rambam says, with it's a lot of details, we don't know what it's going to be, we don't know what it's going to be, so I don't want to get too much into it, but basically, for sure, Eliyahu Navi, who's going to come before Mashiach comes, is going to come from Shemayim. But either way, the Gemara is suggesting it has to do with this machlokas. So just starting from a little part way out of the bracket there. So the Gemara says that if you say there are no tchumin above that height, b'Shabbos u'b'Yom Tov are my mutter. Why is he allowed to drink wine on Shabbos and Yom Tov? So again, says the Gemara, shiny hasam the Amar Kra. No, it's different. No, it's a specific case there by Mashiach coming, because the verse says, pasuk says, Hine Anochi Shoreach Lachem Es Elia Hanavi. With Nevo Yom Hashem, that says, I'm going to send to you Eliyahu Navi with Nevo Yom Hashem, before the day of Hashem coming, meaning before the day that Mashiach comes and reinstitutes the kingdom of Hashem. And Eliyahu didn't come yesterday, right? So therefore, the Eliyahu hasn't come yet, so you know the Eliyahu didn't come yesterday, so Mashiach's not coming today. Says Gemara, well, hold on a second. Ihachi, if so, Bechol Kol Yom of Yom Anami Lishtari. So you should be allowed to drink wine every day. Dahalo as Eliyahu me'esmol. Because Eliyahu didn't come yesterday, right? On any given Tuesday. If Mashiach didn't come on Monday, if Eliyahu or Navi didn't come on Monday, you know Mashiach's not coming on Tuesday. So says Gemara, El Amrinon. Rather, what must be the reason that he can't drink wine on any given day is because we say, Lebez din agavo asa. Because maybe Eliyahu Navi came to the Beis Din Agadol, and just word hasn't gotten out yet. So Hachanami, so too on Yom Tov and Shabbos, Lema Beis Din Agadol also. Maybe Eliyahu came yesterday, and Mashiach's going to come today. So says the Gemara, no, it's different because Kvar Muftach Lehen LiYisrael, the Jews have already been promised She'ein Eliyahu Ba Lo Ba'arve Shabbosos Lo Ba'arve Yom Tovim, that Eliyahu Navi is not going to come on Erev Shabbos or an Erev Yom Tov Mipnei HaTorah because of all of the hullabaloo, use the technical term, that it's going to cause, right? Because they're going to be getting ready for Shabbos and getting ready for Yom Tov, and all of a sudden Eliyahu is going to come, and it's going to cause all this excitement, and it's going to interfere with their Shabbos and Yom Tov preparations. So Eliyahu Navi is not going to come on Erev Shabbos or an Erev Yom Tov, and therefore Mashiach is not going to come on Shabbos and Yom Tov. If Eliyahu is definitively not coming on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov, Mashiach's not coming on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And therefore, this Nazir can drink, or this person who made a neder that he's going to be a Nazir when Mashiach comes, can safely drink wine on Shabbos and Yom Tov with the assumption that Mashiach is not and has not come today. Right? Now, the Gemara goes through a little bit of a complication here. It says I'm going to go through the rest of the Gemara. The Gemara, it comes with the Gemara really still has to answer the question a different way. But basically, the Gemara lays down this concept that we have a promise that that Eliyahu Navi is not coming on Friday or on Erev Yom Tov. So the question.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
A little side thing. Does that mean, like, when we have our seders, if it's on Erev Shabbos, we should open the door for Eliyahu to come?
Well, so there Eliyahu is not, meaning the Gemara means Eliyahu won't be coming to Haral, the Mashiach's coming. But Eliyahu comes to, you know, every Bris Milah, so that'll happen even on Friday and even on Erev Yom Tov, right? But
on Yom Kippur.
But Eliyahu won't be coming to announce Mashiach's arrival on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov. But so the question is, so should you be expecting Mashiach to come on Shabbos? Right? The Rambam says, B'chol Yom Shabbos, or Elizani Mamin says, B'chol Yom Shabbos, to come every day. So every day means every day. So what about Tisha B'Av? What about Shabbos and Yom Tovim?
Tisha B'Av is not a Yom Tov yet.
Right, no, but right? It's a different Gemara, right? Different Gemara. There's a Gemara that says he's not going to come on Tisha B'Av, another Gemara that's not going to come on Tisha B'Av. But there's, you know, the Gemara says that Palisel, B'Nisan Nigalu, B'Nisan Asidin Ligal, that Mashiach's going to come in, the Ge'ul is going to come in Nisan. So maybe we should only be waiting for Mashiach in Nisan. We have all these different, you know, times of when Mashiach is or isn't going to come. So are we not supposed to be waiting for Mashiach? Let's just, you know, keep it very simple. On Shabbos, should a person be expecting Mashiach to come on Shabbos? So it's famously said from the Brisker Rav. There's a comment that he makes in Parshas Bo. that I didn't put it into the sheet because it's hard to find a copy of it that I could photocopy from. But in Parshas Bo, he makes a comment which very much sounds this way. That basically, that it's a good question, but you know what? When Mashiach gets here, he'll tell us how it works, right? But I'll expect all hope for Mashiach on Shabbos, and if he comes on Shabbos, I'll ask him how come he came on Shabbos, right? But basically, that yeah, it's okay, but it's a question. But that's what it says. Expect him every day. So expect him every day. That's what I'm going to do, right? So, just to one approach to justify this understanding, we're going to suggest a couple other approaches here. But the Kli Chemda discusses this idea. It's discussed in earlier sources also, but this is just the simplest one that presents it very straightforward. Says that the Kli Chemda here is quoting the Krasi Uplasi. The underline here, this is the Kli Chemda on Parsha Shmini, says, "Dehada Amrinim beGemara." That which it says in Gemara, "De'ain Mashiach ben David ba kodem Eliyahu." That Mashiach ben David will not come before Eliyahu comes. The Eliyahu mochach lavo mikodem lebaser biyaso. And Eliyahu must certainly come before Mashiach comes in order to announce, to inform us of his arrival. Hainu dafka beGeula deBeita. This is specifically in the Geula, in the redemption of Beita. We have a Masorah. There are two ways in which the Geula could come. The Geula could come, as the Pasuk says, Beita Achishena, which means in its time I will hasten it. Which the Gemara says there are two different tracks in which Mashiach could come. It says if Klal Yisrael are not Zoche, Mashiach will come Beita. He will come in his time. There's a pre-appointed time by which Mashiach will come. And if Klal Yisrael don't merit, if the Klal Yisrael don't do anything to change that, so Mashiach will come in his proper time. But in Mzachu, if Klal Yisrael or Zocha, they, so to speak, bring Mashiach in their own merit, then it's Ba'achi Shena, then he'll hasten his arrival, Medalag al-Aharim, that he'll hasten the arrival of Mashiach, and Mashiach will come early. So says,
it's like Mordechai ben David, just one Shabbos.
Just one Shabbos and we'll all be free.
Yeah, see.
Right. So the Kli Chemda says that which we say that Eliyahu must come before Mashiach is specifically in the Geula of Beita. The Geula, if it comes in its pre-appointed time, Aval im Yizku Yisrael. But if the Jewish people are meritorious, the Yu Geula de Achi Shena. And the Geula comes in the form of Achi Shena, comes and it's being brought early. Az Medalag al Aharim, then he jumps over, it's a pasuk from Shir Hashirim, he jumps over the mountains. The Yavo Mashiach Kodem Eliyahu, and Mashiach will come before Eliyahu. Velo Yeh Seder Zmanim Klal, there's not going to be any specific order to how everything happens. Gadish Baruch is basically going to bring Mashiach as soon as it's time to come. As soon as we earn it, okay, he's coming now. He's not delaying in a moment, sending him now. Not skipper all of the things that are supposed to happen before Mashiach comes, all the things that are supposed to lead up to it. All of that's going to be jumped over, going to be ignored and skipped, and Mashiach will come right away. So, following this Kli Chemda, so we can understand very easily, how are we supposed to hope that Mashiach is going to come on Shabbos? Because we're supposed to hope that Mashiach will come before the appropriate time. Mashiach will come before the proper time for his arrival, and he comes before the proper time, or before the pre-appointed time for his arrival. So then, he'll come before Eliyahu. You don't have to have Eliyahu having come on Friday for Mashiach to come on Shabbos. Mashiach will come on Shabbos because that's the time at which that's the point at which we merited to bring him early. He'll hasten. He'll come right away. He's going to come as soon as it's deserved. He'll come right away, and therefore Mashiach could still come on Shabbos. The Gemara Nazir says that in Erevin says this Nazir, or this would-be Nazir, doesn't have to refrain from drinking wine on Shabbos and Yom Tov because Mashiach's not going to come then. So that explains that this person looking out for when Mashiach comes. I mean, he's taking precautions to make sure that he doesn't drink wine when it could be that he's become a Nazir, right? So it's basically a question of what level of expectation does he have to be concerned about? So the fact that Mashiach might come be'ita, so that we're telling him he has to take into account, you know, Mashiach, the pre-appointed time for Mashiach, where he will necessarily come. Mashiach will certainly come at some time. That's be'ita. That he has to be concerned about. The fact that Mashiach might come ba'ati shena, the fact that Mashiach might come in our bringing him early, that he doesn't have to be choshesh. He doesn't have to, in his practical application of his concern, take that into account, the fact that Mashiach could come early, that he doesn't have to take into consideration, and therefore he can drink wine on Shabbos, even though if Mashiach comes ba'achi shena, if we bring Mashiach early, Mashiach could come on Shabbos, and then he's not allowed to drink wine. He doesn't have to be choshesh for that. L'chumra, he doesn't have to be stringent to expect that maybe we'll bring Mashiach early. He only has to look out for the fact that Mashiach today might be the appointed time when Mashiach is going to come, and for that, on Shabbos, you don't have to be concerned about. But so a person could still have the emunah that Mashiach is going to come at any point, because Mashiach is because if it's Ba'achi Shena, so Mashiach could come at any time. All right, so that's one approach of how you understand this. However, there are a couple other approaches. Just going to mention one really quickly, just to, for the sake of completion, just to throw it out there. Rabbi Shilat, in his translation of the Rambam, so he says a slightly nuanced explanation of what this what it means that we're that you're waiting for Mashiach every day, that you're always waiting for Mashiach. He says that I am always expecting that he will come eventually, meaning there is no point at which I think that Mashiach is no longer coming. That person might think, oh, it's been so long, Mashiach hasn't come yet, you know, he's probably never coming. No, I'm waiting for him every day that he will come eventually. I'm waiting every day that eventually he will come. I never give up on the fact that Mashiach is going to come. That's what he says the emunah is. However, the one that I really want to discuss, which I think is the fundamental to appreciating the point of this ikkar, was the approach of Rav Yaakov Weinberg. Rav Weinberg understood, he had a number of questions, only one of which being the question we're discussing, that, you know, it says Mashiach's not going to come on Shabbos, so what does it mean to expect him to come every day if he's not going to come on Shabbos? He also said, is it possible that a Kaddish Baruch Hu is expecting people for 3,000 years to be expecting something which wasn't true? Meaning that yesterday, if you were supposed to believe yesterday that Mashiach was coming yesterday, God was requiring you to expect something which was not true? Every day that's gone by has been a day that Mashiach did not come. So every day for the past 3,000 years, there has been an expectation of people to believe something which was not true. Does that make sense? So Rav Weinberg said it doesn't seem reasonable that there's a requirement to believe something which is not true. So a couple other points I get into, but Rav Weinberg basically said that the idea of Hakelo, the idea of when the Navi says, when the Rambam is quoting the Navi, says Im Yismamea Hakelo, to wait for him, means to anticipate his coming, to be looking forward to his arrival. Which means, just give a mashal, right? If I tell Corey that I sent him or I'm sending him a special present, right? Not that I'm going to be sending it, right? I don't know. I'm not telling you when it's coming, right? So it's going to be really awesome. You're going to love it. So someone will ask Corey, are you waiting for that present to come? So he's going to say, yeah, I'm waiting for it to come. He says, you think it's coming? He says, I have no idea when it's coming. So what are you waiting for? He says, I'm looking forward to it's coming. I'm expecting it's coming today. I have no idea when it's coming. It could be coming today. It could be coming next week. But I am waiting for it to come. What does it mean? I am excited and looking forward to the arrival of this present that I don't know when it's coming. That's what it means to be waiting for Mashiach. What it means to be waiting for Mashiach is not that I think that today he's coming, not that I have no idea when he's coming. But that has nothing to do with the fact that I'm waiting for Mashiach. Waiting for Mashiach means that I am anticipating and looking forward to his arrival. And waiting for Mashiach, the idea, the fact that it's an ikkar, not just to believe that there will be a Mashiach, but to be waiting for Mashiach, is fundamental in defining what life is like without Mashiach, and what I define as being important in life and the goal of what we're living for. A person could be, you know, if you're, Mashiach will come, okay, Mashiach will come when he gets here, that'll be great. Until then, I'm comfortable also. Right? There were periods in Jewish history where life was very uncomfortable, and they were very, it's very interesting, we're actually looking at some of the Kisvei Chavetz Chaim about Mashiach. Today, when we talk about Mashiach, it's all about, you know, like, trying to convince people that really we do want Mashiach, like, we, you know, we need Mashiach, it's going to be great when Mashiach comes, talking about philosophical discussions about, you know, what's, what, how, when and why, and what's going to be with Mashiach coming. Look at the writings of the Chavetz Chaim, it's the opposite. It's convincing everyone that, you know, even though things are, people were desperate for Mashiach, but they were so desperate for Mashiach that it was hard to believe that Mashiach could come. They were in such a low place that they couldn't, you know, I heard Aaron Lapiansky say over this story that in the Warsaw Ghetto or in one of the camps, that they asked Mayor Bavarsky, they said that that how come our we're davening, how come our tefillos aren't answered? And he said, if the leader of the ghetto would come leading a horse with the Kavno Rav, with the Dvar Avram sitting on it, it wouldn't be the Geula, that wouldn't be the redemption, but it would at least enable us to imagine that a redemption will be coming. But we're so downtrodden, we can't even imagine that there will be a Geula. We're so far, you know, we're so dejected, we cry out for it because, you know, it's a reaction to the pain that we're in, but we're not really looking for it, we're not really imagining that it's going to happen. That was where they were, you know, 100 years ago, a century ago. It was so deplorable that it was the avoda was to imagine that Mashiach could be coming, because look how terrible things are. They needed it so terribly, but they couldn't. It was hard to maintain faith. It was hard to maintain the emunah that Mashiach is going to eventually come in the state that they were living in. But there were also times, you know, in the days when Shlomo HaMelech was Melech in Yerushalayim, and Klal Yisrael was at, you know, its historical zenith, and there was a Beis Hamikdash standing in Yerushalayim, they were required to be looking forward to Mashiach coming. And Al Achas Kama V'Kama, we're sitting here in America, and you know, it's a Malchus Shel Chesed. We have an incredibly comfortable lives facilitated by the, you know, the Malchus here, that they enable us to live a life of Torah and Mitzvos, and they, you know, all the comforts that we're able to have in this life, we still have a requirement to hope for Mashiach, even while we're you know, in the state that we're in now. And even, you know, the Jews in Eretz Yisrael, they also are supposed to look forward to Mashiach, right? Certain ways, if you're in Eretz Yisrael, it might be easier to understand why you're still looking forward to Mashiach. But a person could be living in America, in a comfortable life. A person could say, you know what, Mashiach will come at some point. Okay, so when he comes, he comes. Until then, I'm also happy, you know? Or you can step worse, that, okay, when he comes, I guess I'll come to terms with the fact, you know, let him take his time. I'm enjoying myself as it is. I'm keeping Torah and Mitzvos. It's not that I don't want him to come because then he's going to take all my fun away. I'm keeping Torah and Mitzvos. But you know what? Mashiach will come. I'll come. It'll be nice, fine, great. But until he comes, I'm also happy with the way I'm living now. I'm comfortable. I have my house. I have my family. I have my my job. You know, everything's great the way it is. When Mashiach comes, that'll also be nice. That person is lacking something fundamental in the purpose of life. The idea that a person is hoping for Mashiach is that I am not comfortable in a world in which there is not a clear revelation of a Kadosh Baruch Hu being here, in which there is not the ability to appreciate the Torah to its completion, to appreciate the Ratzon Hashem to its completion, a world which is not defined on its most basic level by Umar Az Deyas Hashem, the ability to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to form a relationship with God. That's a world which is fundamentally lacking. And when I'm waiting for Mashiach, what it means that I am looking forward to the arrival of Mashiach, means that I don't, that I understand that no matter how good life can get, it's fundamentally lacking. I'm not comfortable. I am unhappy with the way things are so long as Mashiach has not come, so long as Israel does not resume its malchus, where we are able to be a unified group to really act as a nation that brings Kavod Shemayim, that brings God's kingdom into the world, so long as there is a Yad Al Kes Ka, so long as there is that the throne of Hashem is not fully revealed in this world. So there's something fundamentally lacking, or something which is missing from my own life. There's something missing from my own completion, and I feel that there's something shortcoming, and therefore waiting for Mashiach, not because I think he's coming today, but because I think that every day that he's not coming is a day in which I am missing something. That's fundamental. The Gemara in, we may not remember exactly where the Gemara is, the famous Gemara says that there are 6 questions that they ask a person when he's nichnas ladin, when a person goes up to Shemayim, before they admit him into, before he enters the din, before he goes into being judged. So they ask him 6 questions. Nasasa v'amuna, did you do business faithfully? All these 6 different questions. One of the 6 questions that they ask him is Tzipisa l'Yeshua. Were you hoping for the Yeshua? Were you hoping for the redemption to come? These 6 questions are before a person enters into the din. This is not part of what they judge you on. This is before they judge you. Because before they judge you, there are questions which fundamentally define, before we judge your specific actions, we have to have a context of who are you. There are specific things which define who were you, what was the life you were living. And now we can judge, after we've determined where you stand, how the specific actions fit into and judge your mitzvos and your averus and all that. Before that, we have to have there's a prerequisite to the din, which is who are you? And part of the who are you is Tzipisa l'Yeshua. Were you looking forward to the Yeshua? Were you looking forward to being redeemed? Were you looking forward to the redemption? Because a person who's looking forward to the redemption, that's what the life you were living for was a life you were if you are not looking forward to redemption, so your life was a life in this world. What defined your life was that your life as it was. That's what you wanted. That's what you were happy with. That's what you were content with. You were content with living your life as it was. And that's what you're defined to. That's what you're confined to then. You are a this-worldly person. But a person who was Tzipisa l'Yeshua, a person whose betzapeh was looking forward and hoping for the Yeshua. So that kind of person has fundamentally redefined the context in which his life was lived. His life, he may have been stuck in this world, but he was a person who was living for the next world. He was a person who was living for a world in which Malchus Shemayim, in which Kavod Shemayim is the order of the day. He's a person who was living in a world, who was connected to a world where Malchus Shemayim was the ideal, was the concept that was the driving point of his life. A person who was looking forward to Mashiach coming, a person who was looking forward to that world, is a person who understands that a world in which the shleimus of the Torah, the shleimus of keeping the Torah, and the shleimus, the completion of Ratzon Hashem, that's the point that defines existence. A person who is living a life looking forward to that is a person who says, my life as I have it now, it's what I'm stuck with. No matter how comfortable and how happy and content I could be, it's what I'm stuck with. What I really want, what I really am hoping for, is a life which is defined by uninterrupted and without any obstacle, the ability to focus on Ratzon Hashem, a world defined, a life defined by what God wants, and being able to form that relationship and connect to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, that's the world that I'm really living for. Therefore, the person is, Tzipisa Yeshua is defined before the Nichnas Ladin, before they go in to be judged, defined as a different type of person than a person who was not Tzipisa Yeshua. And it's an ikar of Amunah, it's a principle of faith, not just the fact that there will be a Mashiach, and the world before Mashiach comes is lacking in something, but that I personally am looking forward and waiting, anxiously awaiting the arrival of that Mashiach, because it's not just that I understand that, you know, the world's not over until it's, you know, there's a final purpose for the world in which God's kingdom will be revealed and Ratzon Hashem will come and everything will be brought to a Shlemus, and I understand that. But it's not just that. It's not just that that's a fact of what will eventually be, but that I have to understand that I personally am lacking, that there's nothing that could be better for me than for the, not just there's nothing that could be better, that is the objective, what defines meaning of existence, is that period of time that I am looking forward to, that because I personally recognize that I personally am lacking something until we reach that point, that era of existence, when Ma'a Aretz De'as Hashem, when that relationship with the Kadosh Baruch, when knowledge of a Kadosh Baruch was something that every person will be able to grasp, and when the living a life which is solely and exclusively dedicated to Ratzon Hashem.
Seems to beg an obvious question if we're supposed to be actively waiting for what is it that we're supposed to be doing to hasten it, to facilitate it.
Right. So that's an important point. Just to put it very shortly, actually there is a certain I don't know what to call it, certain concept, certain aspect in which we're specifically not supposed to hasten the Geula. That the docha, the lidchok esakates, to so to speak, force the Geula to come, is something that's actually discouraged, because a Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring it when it's supposed to come. If we're, you know, if we were to, so to speak, to force the Geula to come before it's supposed to come, Geula comes, it's, you know, it's the full impact of Geula. We could have a whole separate discussion about why this is true, but the full impact and accomplishment of the Geula really only happens if it comes when it's supposed to come. If we're not prepared in either direction, either because we're not haven't reached the point of achievement or haven't sunk far enough, which is
right.
Its own interesting discussion.
Right.
But if it's not in such a situation, so the Geula really doesn't achieve its full impact. So in one respect, we're not supposed to be trying to force it. But then on the other hand, we are supposed to be looking forward to Mashiach and doing, so to speak, what we can. You know, that whole philosophy of a mitzvah for Mashiach. You don't really do a mitzvah for Mashiach. You do a mitzvah because Hashem said to do mitzvahs. But we have a hope that Mashiach is coming, and we wanted, you know, maybe one part of, you know, making sure that we're doing everything that we're that's expected of us is that we want to bring the world, I guess maybe we could call it an outcome, a logical consequence of this idea that we're hoping for Mashiach because we know that that's going to be the most objectively valuable way of life or state of existence, is that we hope that in all of the mitzvot that we do, that it's going to bring about that period. And if there's something that you're looking forward to because you understand it's going to be objectively the best thing, so obviously in everything you do, you'll hope that that will bring that about. So it doesn't. There's not necessarily anything specifically that, you know, you do differently than anyone else because Mashiach. The person is supposed to do Torah and mitzvos to the best of their ability either way, but you understand that we could hope that our mitzvos will bring about Mashiach. Rav Shimshon Pinkus, actually, in his introduction to Sharon B'Tfilah, says that the specific responsibility of the generation of Mashiach is the mitzvah of tefillah. He says that there's an idea that even something that you deserve won't necessarily come unless you daven for it and appreciate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who brings it about. And therefore, even if Mashiach hypothetically could be waiting to come, he's not going to come until it's being davened for appropriately. And therefore, Pinkus says that the job of the door of Mashiach is to daven appropriately, because it's only because everything comes through the sha'ar ha'tfilah, everything comes through the gate of tefillah, and therefore you have to make sure you daven for it appropriately. But not that, again, it's not, there's no specific mitzvah that you're doing for Mashiach, but it's just that one thing we have to be aware of is particularly to enable that everything that we're doing has its desired effect, that we have to know how to.
Seems the question is whether coming of Mashiach is It, certainly when Hashem, you know, says it's time, the question is whether there's a fixed date and that's written on a piece of paper and put away somewhere, you know, in secret, or whether Mashiach comes when certain conditions are fulfilled. And if it's, you know, it's, whether it's tshuva of the Jews around the world, or everybody observing one Shabbat together, or whatever. I mean, if it's a conditional thing, then there's something we can do.
So maybe we should be trying to...
And we don't force it, but we can help create the conditions. I think that's Chabad's approach, isn't it? You know, we want Mashiach now. But if it's a date that's written and sealed away, then... You know, then you just wait passively and don't do anything.
Right, so it could be that it's both. I mean, there certainly is a date, which we don't know what it is, but there is a date which Mashiach will come by. And it could be that, you know, the conditions that are going to precede Mashiach's coming, God will make sure that everything that's supposed to happen happens. For example, there's a machlokas in the Gemara that Mashiach will only come if the Jewish people do tshuva. So, whether or not that's true, we should all do tshuva. But we shouldn't all do tshuva because Mashiach said to come, we should do tshuva because, you know, it's a mitzvah to do tshuva and mitzvah to keep them in, required to keep the mitzvos. However it's supposed to work, if you know, certain preconditions for Mashiach coming, that God will make sure that those things happen. We can, you know, we should just be doing whatever we're required to do as Torah observant Jews.
Yeah, we can. I mean, we should express.